Hello, and welcome to On Staging. I'm Kyle Gould, and on Saturday, April 27th, I had the pleasure of driving out to the RPAC in Okotoks to see Dewdney's production of Hansel and Gretel. Written by Charlotte Schoepening and adapted by Kelly Kozak, I delve into the particulars of the development of this production in my interview with Kelly, Dave, and Ollie in a previous episode. The RPAC's lights were dim as I arrived a few minutes ahead of time, and soft forest sounds and fairytale-esque music played in the building. The stage was lit, and the set was beautiful. One and a half walls of a small cottage was beautifully dressed, next to a forest made from three or four small 3-foot-wide by 8-foot-tall flats. Each of the flats was a beautiful pastoral forest of its own, with trees and leaves with little birds and butterflies hidden throughout. All of it was made of paper, folded and twisted and painted and glued to the flats. Individual leaves galore made up the foliage in visual ways hard to describe on a podcast. Rich greens of every sort, yellows, oranges, reds, and browns, made a beautiful display that constantly drew my eye and engaged me on a visceral level. And then the play opened. With the father and the mother of Hansel and Gretel bemoaning their poor state and far too many hungry mouths for their small cottage and earnings. Father, played by Brad Snowden, and mother, played by Jenny Bailey, live on the edge of a grand forest, and the conceit of this production is that a witch in the nearby forest is bewitching the berries the locals gather and eat to send their children into the woods to grow up, so that this witch can lure them in and cook them. The why of the witch's actions is never fully explained, which is a pity, because she seems mostly an antagonist to overcome, as opposed to a genuine character with motivations of her own. She's absolutely a delight to watch, played by Tanya Dhaliwal to scenery-chewing delight. I should be careful here, as in Act 2, the set flips and the interior cottage becomes the exterior of a candy house, and Tanya, as the witch, does not actually chew on the scenery, though pretty much everyone else does. With, by my count, 16 performers on stage, there is a lot to coordinate and manage, and while there are a few times where it's just a long line of actors on stage, the RPAC space is such that it is hard to get around that. The gaggle of children were delightful, though. It was honestly extremely shocking when they were all turned into gingerbread figures, even though they kind of deserved it. The cadre of elves and their scene was beautiful, and the dance was a lovely element in the production, but I couldn't help but wonder what purpose they served in the greater story. The same of Ole, played by Brad Fowler, and to a lesser extent, Jess Govier's Angel. The angel, or good witch, or dream fairy, what have you, was wonderful and ethereal, and her costuming sublime. On that note, the costuming in general was another highlight of the production for me. From hats down to shoes, every aspect of the costumes were right out of a fairy tale in rustic fabrics and bright colors. Kudos to Kelly Kozak as costume designer on an amazing vision, well executed. The choreography was fun and engaging. The setting from Dale Fay was fun and engaging. The performers were fun and engaging. The whole show was fun and engaging. And while you could zoom in on aspects of the performance and the scenery, the lights, the sound, the costumes, and the closer you got, the more incredible and amazing it was, the plot itself doesn't hold up to much scrutiny. Why are there elves suddenly involved? And why are they so swiftly sent away? Why do these 5 children join in with Hansel and Gretel, get led away to their deaths, and are magically returned to life in a circuitous, overlapping path that interferes with Hansel and Gretel's own but doesn't engage with it? What does this witch want with all these kids turned candy? Is it just to have more candy to lure in more kids? Because that just seems like a vicious cycle. And why does only mother seem to eat these berries that make her want to get rid of her kids, and not father? And how can someone so kind that he gifts away his last 5 copper, as father does, actually manage to rationalize dragging his kids out into the woods and leaving them there? Hansel and Gretel never made much sense to begin with, and this production doesn't really help establish better foundations for the story, even with the addition of a kindly witch, a dubiously neutral umbrella full of dreams man, and a posse of otherworldly, but horribly depressed elves only further confuses things. Delightfully confuses things. I should be clear. Hansel and Gretel by Dudeney Players is a whole dessert smorgasbord. It's beautiful and sweet and sticky and delicious. But you can't have too much of it or you'll be left with a sore tummy. I mean, head. The message of this production seems to be that to get through your troubles, you need a sprinkle of level-headedness, a drizzle of intelligence, a smattering of kindness, and two giant scoops of luck, which, while also a tasty dessert, seems to be a good metaphor for getting through life. You should see Hansel and Gretel. You will be delighted. If you were involved in the creation of Hansel and Gretel, I thank you. Your care, attention, talent, and skill has been put to good, memorable use by Kelly Kozak, who has built a beautiful production worthy of an audience. Thanks for listening.